Thank you, Brother Ted, and good morning, brothers and sisters. So where this class exhortation originally came out of was a few weeks ago, somebody was talking about how the majority of Christadelphians who stopped being Christadelphians did so for a particular reason, and I was like, is that true? I wonder if it is. Let's do it the scientific way. So I decided to see if I could find a lot of data out there on why people stop being Christadelphians, on why people decide to lose their way, and figure out why does it happen? Let's look at this scientifically and do a statistical approach and all that sort of stuff, except I'm not actually a statistician, so I'm not that clever about it. But what I did do is I went on the internet, and there are lots of ex-Christadelphians who've written about why they aren't Christadelphians anymore. In fact, there's this one website which is great because it's basically just this blog with somebody decided to post like 15 to 20 different stories of why people aren't Christadelphians anymore. So I read through them all, and as I was reading through, I tried to note what issues they had with the Christadelphians. What's going on? What were their reasons for leaving? And so I read through all of them on there. I went looking for other places. There's like ex-Christadelphian websites, people have made videos. So I went through and tried to find everything I could where somebody was talking about why they weren't a Christadelphian anymore and tried to figure out, so what is their reason? How do I categorize all these different things and figure out what are the main sort of things that people found were reasons that they didn't want to be part of the Christadelphians anymore? And before I tell you what my results were, I'm also going to give some scientific disclaimers because I made it sound like I was a real scientist about this, but I'm not that good. So, like, first of all, I only managed to read about 35 different stories, which is not two, but it's not like a huge statistically accurate number. So sorry about that. I only got through about 35. There might be more out there. I'll also say that I mostly took people at face value. I read what they wrote and categorized it based on what they wrote. I realized that sometimes people lie, even on the internet. And people can, you know, be trying to deceive or come up with, you know, better reasons than the actual ones because it sounds better in a story and all that sort of stuff. I didn't try to do too much meta-analysis or stuff like that. I took people at face value. And there was only, of all those 35, only one of them do I actually know personally. So I don't really know anything more than what they wrote. Also, I kind of like read it, wrote down, oh, here are their reasons, read the next one, oh, here's some more reasons, and kind of made up the criteria along the way as I was reading it. So I might not have been perfectly consistent because I started looking for things more when I had read a bunch of them and all that sort of stuff. So this isn't like, I'm not submitting this to science or nature or something like that. But I thought it was interesting and I wanted to share some of the things I learned. And one of the things I learned is that people leave the Christadelphians for lots of different reasons. I read 35 different stories and I came up with 19 different general reasons why people left. So it was not a one-size-fits-all sort of thing. And the most common item only came up in 12 of the 35 stories. So there wasn't even one thing that came up in the majority of them. People stopped being Christadelphians for lots of different reasons. But I sort of did find some things that I started to see some patterns. And one of the patterns I saw was there were basically two fairly large groups for where people went after they left the Christadelphians. One group of people would leave the Christadelphians and join a mainstream Christian church. And the other group of people would leave the Christadelphians and become total atheists. And it was interesting looking at where their sort of thinking was because they kind of went from completely different directions, which is, of course, why they ended up in completely different places. The people who left and became mainstream Christians typically seemed to be people who thought that the Christadelphians were far too academic, too focused on things that didn't matter, were wrong on certain points of doctrine that they thought mainstream Christianity had better, and really thought that Christadelphians missed out on what the love of Jesus was all about. So tended to be a common one you saw was that Christadelphians felt like an autistic version of Christianity, which I thought was an interesting way of saying it. So that was sort of one group of people. And the other group of people were people who rather than saying that the Christadelphians were too academic, said the Christadelphians were not academic enough. And they were really focused on proving what is right and what's wrong, and let's find evidence for everything. And they kept applying this prove everything, prove everything, prove everything principle until they eventually decided to prove that God didn't exist, and they stopped being Christadelphians and became atheists. So it was that, which I thought was kind of funny, was that, again, you had two different groups who sort of took a different idea on how academic you're supposed to be. And both of them actually led away from the Christadelphians, but in different directions. And to be fair, also, depends where you look in terms. So it turned out that most people who sort of went one way, their stuff was in one spot, and the people who went the other way, their stuff was in the other spot. So if you go to one person's website, you think that, oh, all the people who leave the Christadelphians all think this one way. But you go to someone else's website, and all the people who leave the Christadelphians think this other way, because apparently those two groups don't really talk to each other. So those were the sort of basic ideas I found. Two different groups of people, and usually it was apparent reading someone's story which sort of direction they'd gone. But as I said at the beginning, there's lots of different stories out there. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing. But when I started to tally it up, I was looking for, so what are the major reasons people leave the Christadelphians? What sort of turns people off? What are the major issues? And what I got as the most popular reason for saying why they left the Christadelphians, which might be somewhat of a surprise to you because it was a surprise to me, was that the most popular reason was that people didn't like our theology. So they thought the Christadelphians were wrong on some important point of doctrine. What that point of doctrine was lots of different things. I sort of threw them all in the same bucket. But whether it was the Holy Spirit or the atonement or the problem of evil, it came up a lot in stories that people thought the Christadelphians were just wrong on this particular subject. And the reasons why I think it came up so often is due to two reasons. These are my guesses, by the way. One guess is that I think it's because we as Christadelphians do put a lot of emphasis on having the right doctrine. So if you're going to leave and you come from a Christadelphian background, you're thinking about right doctrine a lot, and so that's going to show up in when you're talking about the Christadelphians. If you care so much about doctrine, then obviously you're going to point out if you don't think it's right. And the other reason I think it came up so much was because in both those different groups, both the mainstream Christian group and the atheist group, they both agreed that the Christadelphians were wrong. They just disagreed on exactly where we were wrong. But both of those groups of people tended to think that something was wrong with the way Christadelphians thought about their doctrine. And they had lots of different criticisms that people couldn't answer their questions when they had like specific Bible questions, or they had issues with the problem of evil or things like that. So I was thinking about this and going, how should we react to this? If a big problem is that different people think that Christadelphians are wrong, what should we do? Should we say, well, we just need more stuff proving that we're right? So more books, more study, more making sure everyone knows the right answers. And I'm not sure that's the best approach, though, because there was this whole group of people who that was exactly the road they walked down. Was that we need to prove absolutely everything, and they ended up becoming ex-Christadelphians as a result. It's actually really sad when you see quite a few of them who've produced a whole bunch of apologetic work, where these are all the books I wrote about why the Christadelphians are right, and then eventually I decided that the Christadelphians weren't right anymore, so sorry about that. They tended to write really long web pages going point by point through every reason why they thought, why they're atheists now and things like that. So I'm not sure that's the right direction, because people who go really far in that direction seem to stop being Christadelphians. But then the other idea is, well, what if we loosen things up a little bit? So let's stop caring so much about doctrine and just say you can't know anything for sure, you can believe anything you want, and since there's lots of different roads to the same place, all opinions are probably right in some way. And that's certainly a direction that some churches have taken. If you've ever heard of the Unitarian Universalists, they're actually right over there, and I drive past them every time I drive into this hall. I looked up what they believe, because Unitarian, by the way, means that they don't believe in a Trinity, and Universalist means you believe that everybody is going to be saved. But it turns out that where it actually came from is it's not just that they're Unitarians and Universalists, but they're kind of anything goes. So there were Unitarians who thought that you could believe anything you wanted, and Universalists, and they joined together. And then you don't actually have to believe that there's a God to be a UU. It's basically, they like talking about interesting ideas. I'm not sure. I haven't actually gone there. I read their website. But that is a way that certain churches have gone, that sort of all ideas are equally valid. And I'm not sure that's necessarily a good idea either. If you think it's a really good idea, they're right over there, by the way. But if somebody think, like, reading these stories, people did care about doctrine. And what would turn them off is they thought that the Christadelphians were wrong. But that didn't mean that doctrine didn't matter. If someone thinks that we're wrong on the atonement, then saying, well, you can believe anything you want about the atonement doesn't necessarily solve the problem. People are looking for something to believe. Belief is important. But there's just sort of distinctions in terms of what people thought was right and what's wrong. And saying that nothing is right or wrong doesn't seem to be a solution either. That just leads you down to why bother? So I'm not sure that's necessarily the best direction to take either. But then how do we solve this problem? There's lots of people who clearly have an issue with sort of Christadelphian doctrine. And how do, if we don't want people to have issues with our doctrine or have that cause them to leave the truth, what sort of approach should we take? And I decided that I might want to try reading the Bible to figure out sort of where to go on this. And a passage I thought was really interesting was in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's telling them about how he preached the gospel to them. And so he has to deal with this problem too. What should I focus on? What's really important? So this is reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come with superior eloquence or wisdom as I proclaimed the testimony of God. For I decided to be concerned about nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. My conversation and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not be based on human wisdom, but on the power of God. So I thought that was an interesting passage, because here Paul is saying that when he preached to the Corinthians, he didn't pretend to have all the answers. He wasn't showing off just how wise he was and how he had this stack of books that explained everything. But he also didn't say that he didn't know anything at all. Socrates is a famous Greek philosopher who's known for saying that he was the wisest man because he knew that he didn't know anything. But that's not what Paul's doing. He's not saying, I don't know anything. He's saying what he does know is Jesus Christ and the power of God. He knows that he has seen the resurrected Christ, and he knows that he can demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he focuses on. He's not focusing on human wisdom. He's focusing on God's power. And I thought that was interesting because in some ways, you could say that Jesus Christ is probably the most important reason why anyone should be a Christadelphian. That for us to be a Christadelphian, it shouldn't just be because we're smarter or wiser or have all the answers. And it shouldn't be because we allow anyone to believe anything and anything goes here. It should be because we're Christadelphians because Jesus Christ, because we are brethren in Christ. Isn't that kind of interesting? Our name is not Bible students. We're not just people who read the Bible. We are people who are brothers and sisters linked by Jesus Christ. That is sort of the glue that holds us together. The reason why we're Christadelphians is Jesus Christ. And so what should tie us together, what should make us who we are, is Jesus Christ. John Popel did a really interesting adult Sunday school, and sorry, he's not here to hear my compliment, but I really appreciated it a few weeks ago, where he talked about reasons why we're Christadelphians. And what I thought was fascinating is he said that the core reason why he was a Christadelphian was not because he could prove the Bible based on prophecy or because archaeology or science or something like that. He said the core reason he was a Christadelphian was because he had seen God work in his life. If I'm misquoting John, you the rest of you were at that class, so correct me afterwards, but that was what I got out of it, at least, was that he had seen God work in his life, that in some way God, manifest through Jesus Christ, was why he was a Christadelphian. And I thought, that makes a lot of sense. We should be Christadelphians because that's what God wants us to be. Not because when you join the Christadelphians, that makes you smarter than everybody else. Not even because you think that the Christadelphians are nicer than everybody else. But because God wants us to be Christadelphians. Because Jesus Christ is the glue that holds us together and makes us who we are. And Paul sort of puts it in a similar way in Ephesians chapter 2, when he talks about what is the glue, what is the thing that really makes us who we are. He didn't use the word Christadelphian because this was long before that, but I think what he's talking about basically the same thing. Here he's talking about like Jews and Gentiles and what binds them together, both as Christians. But I'm going to start reading from verse 18 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verse 18. So that through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer foreigners and non-citizens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, because you have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Paul's sort of constructing this idea of a building, and he's saying that at the bottom you have Jesus Christ, and all of us are built on top of that foundation. This is not a foundation of the really wise works of man. It's not a foundation of, oh, this guy wrote this book and it was really smart and that's why we believe everything we do. No, the foundation is Jesus Christ, and things get built on that. Books are useful things to have, and hymns, and gatherings, and all that sort of stuff. But the foundation here needs to be Jesus Christ. And that is sort of what I think is important to focus on if we want to focus on something that helps people to be Christadelphians and not want to stop being Christadelphians, is our focus should be on the glue that holds us together, which is Jesus Christ. Now, bad theology was the most common reason why people left the Christadelphians. But it was also interesting looking at what the second most common reason was. And the second most common reason was that people thought the Christadelphians weren't very loving. That when they looked at Christadelphians in their ecclesias where they'd grown up and in the wider Christadelphian culture, they said that they saw that Christadelphians were treating each other really badly. People talked about how their parents were supposed to be good Christadelphians, and their parents beat them up regularly. And so they had a really hard time seeing any love of Christ in them because their parents were not loving. And they talked about how that rather than sticking up for the oppressed, the Christadelphians, as far as they saw, were the oppressors. And they talked about how Christadelphians were racist and bullies and abusive. One really sad one was a person who talked about how 75% of the girls he'd grown up with had been sexually abused by Christadelphians. Brothers and sisters, if we say that we're brothers in Christ and we don't treat each other like Jesus would, then we're not brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm not surprised. Reading some of those stories, I was like, I'm not surprised this person doesn't want to be part of us. Because if we're behaving like that, we are not Christadelphians. We're not showing the love of Christ. There's a reason why Jesus says, everyone will know by this that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Because if we don't have love one for another, then we're not Jesus' disciples. If someone is abusive, if someone is deliberately hurting other people for their own gain, it really doesn't matter how good their doctrine is. It really doesn't matter if they know the answers to every single question. They're not a disciple of Jesus Christ because they're not acting like Jesus Christ. And eventually people are going to figure that out. And that's something else that came out in a lot of these stories. And that was a sad one, because I don't think there's anyone here who's going to say that loving each other is not something we stand for. But it's something that not only do we need to stand for, but we need to actually do. And that was something I found very poignant as I was reading these stories, going, wow, we some of these stories told me that if I lived in that situation, if the Christadelphians I knew were like that, I wouldn't want to be a part of it either. And it was sort of a challenge to me, and hopefully a challenge to all of you, that if we are going to be Christadelphians, if we are going to be brothers and sisters in Christ, it's important for us to love each other the way Jesus asked us to. So I thought it was kind of interesting. When I went to study this idea of why Christadelphians become ex-Christadelphians, what causes people to lose their way, I didn't plan that the two most common reasons that would come up when I tallied them all up would kind of parallel the first and second commandment. But it worked out that way. And it's not that surprising, because in some ways, what makes us Christadelphians, what makes us who we are, brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, is if our beliefs and actions are based on Jesus. And if our beliefs and actions aren't based on Jesus, then people don't want to be part of the so-called brothers in Christ, because they're not actually brothers in Christ. And it's sort of a challenge that I've taken out of this. If we want to be Christadelphians and not ex-Christadelphians in actuality and not just name, we have to actually be brethren in Christ. We can't be just brethren in self-deception. That's not a Christadelphian. We can't be brethren in lies or brethren in cover-ups. We can't just be brethren in blood. There are a lot of family ties in Christadelphia, but that does not make us Christadelphian just because we're part of the natural family. What makes us Christadelphian is we're brothers in Christ. Our beliefs and our actions are based on Jesus. And if that's what we are, that doesn't mean that there won't still be ex-Christadelphians, that there will be people who don't want to be part of it. There are also stories I read of one person really just liked drinking and partying and found that being a Christadelphian did not work well with that lifestyle. And someone else, he didn't say it quite this way, but at least the message I got was that he found this girl he really liked, and the only way he was going to be able to leave his wife and children to go marry her instead was going to be to leave the Christadelphians at the same time, so he found a bunch of reasons to justify it. And for people like that, they're going to be able to find reasons to do that. And so I don't think there will ever be a time when there are no ex-Christadelphians, at least before the kingdom. But I do think that if we believe the same as Jesus and practice the same as Jesus, if what binds us together is Jesus Christ, if we're truly brethren in Christ, then at least anyone who wants to be a brother or a sister in Christ is going to want to be part of the Christadelphians, because that's who we are. And that, I think, is what truly is the fellowship that we have, that we're celebrating this morning, the fellowship of us all bound together through Jesus Christ. That's who we're here this morning to remember. And so as we, brothers and sisters in Christ, get to remember and in some ways celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord, remember who we are. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what makes us Christadelphians. And it's a challenge, but it's also a really amazing calling that we all have to live up to that name that we've been given as brothers and sisters in Christ.